We're certainly glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, kind of like the day after our Tuesday meet and greet at the Olive Garden. We're going to have a quick little recap because it was so wonderful to see so many of you out again. We filled half of the Olive Garden restaurant, which was great because then we were able to have spoken word poet Emily Allison share a couple different poetry, I don't know, what would you call it, dramatic readings or dramatic recitings or...
Emily told me it was kind of a cappella poetry is what she described it as, because there was no music.
Oh, yeah, other than the Olive Garden music that was
she
going
says that was a first, to have that kind of Italian, like, in the background. So.
Yeah, she was great. She did a couple of her poems in two different areas of the restaurant, so we kind of had her share the wealth. Jeff Goldberg sold a number of his books, Blind Authority, and it was neat to have him going from table to table. And I guess he was telling a number of Jewish jokes.
Yes, he was.
He had, like, John Jennings and others on the floor that kept sitting there, this guy is so funny. And he ended up sitting at our table. We ate, a number of us that stayed late, and cleaned up everything, or cleaned up our radio displays, and Kathleen and John Jennings, their display on the Israel art. Jeff joined us for dinner, and he just shared how wonderful it was to meet so many of the radio listening family members. And it was great to see Karen getting hugged by so many people that are appreciative of all the efforts she does behind the scenes. And I know you got to meet people, and they wanted to meet Tasha and your children that have been on our website posted, and Jacob, who had his own little morning program with us a few weeks back. So overall, it was a great meet and greet, and we're going to have two more of them Tuesday, April 17th, so next Tuesday, and the following Tuesday, in a quick sneak preview, because I'm going to have all sorts of special guests. In fact, tomorrow, I don't have her book down here in the studio, but her name is her book is about being a Korean bride. And she has a real interesting story. I'm almost done with it. I got to finish reading it today because I'm going to interview her for tomorrow.
This is a blooper reel
part. Oh, yeah.
You should have the book here because it's kind of weird if you're going to introduce the author by going, she's like a Korean bride.
Lin. Yeah, Hey Lin. And then she has an American name. Anyway, it's a fascinating story. I've really been enjoying it. I'm learning a lot about the Korean culture. And she married a U.S. veteran of the Vietnam War, and he was part of the services. And anyway, so next week she's going to be there. Kevin Brooks, who's an author from Mahomet, a co-author on a book with Don Rich. He's a World War II veteran. He was there at Battle of the Bulge and D-Day. Their book is called, I did finish that one, and it's Glider Infantry.
Do you realize... Okay, wait. Now, this is truly not on the radio part. Do you realize you're going to have the World War II veteran on with the Korean bride?
Yeah, it's all going to work.
It's all going to work.
Then Bill McLean, he's going to set up a World War II display, and I think he's going to dress as a paratrooper, and his lovely wife, we call her Tall Girl, Susan McLean, is going to come. And she's
Which part of this is going to be on the air?
All this. There's no editing. No, this is live radio.
This is
for better or for worse. No, I'm going with this. This is what it is. And then we might have Dr. Davis and some of the Black Chorus members, so it's going to be a full house. We hope you all come out for a meet and greet, 4:30 to 6:30, next Tuesday, April 17th, in the Olive Garden. Basically knocks off about $2.50 off of your entree, and so that's about a 20% discount on the meal, and there will be meet and greet time. And, hey, did you see my tip money over here? Right over there.
I took a picture of it.
I got a quarter from someone, 50 cents from someone else, and 9 cents from Bill Thompson. And I'm glad Bill and Chris came down from Paxton, but he gave me 9 cents. He felt obligated after I was bragging up my 50 cent and quarter tip. So I had a big haul, and I think you said you wanted to know how much I'm going to be tithing out of that. Then Karen wanted to know how much I'm going to be paying the IRS and taxes off of that. So, man, I had accountability to my left, to my right, all around me. So anyways, it was a great meet and greet, and it was fun to have you meet up with some of our radio listening family. We had some young people there, some senior saints, and everything in between.
Yeah, it was powerful just to be able to spend time. You know, I think anytime you can look, I think that we have circles of community. You know, I think that, you know, for me, it's me, and, you know, God obviously is in the center, and it's me, and there's Tasha, and there's my kids, and that. And then we have another circle outside of that, which I call our first family, which is our church family. You know, those people who I know that we're following following Jesus together. We're going to be in heaven together. And then we have another kind of communal circle. And, you know, I think when God throws the rock in the water, which is each of our stories in our lives, it creates kind of those ripples. And each one of those circles is a different community. So last night, everybody who is in the room has something in common. And that is that either at 7:30 in the morning or 7:30 at the evening or sometime during the day, you tune in and you're listening to WGNN or you're listening to WGNJ. So you are part of a radio listening, Mark says it all the time, family or community. So you have something in common there. And I think that if we just maintain ourselves as the radio listening community, just in our cars and just in our homes and just that, well, I think that's a little, how do I want to say it, a little bland maybe. Mm-hmm. A powerful thing is then when you come together in the room and then you're able to see faces, you're able to say, that's what that person looks like, or you're able to make connections, or you're able to maybe share a moment that you heard on the radio. You know, maybe you're somebody who through a radio listening broadcast accepted Jesus, or were able to be bold enough now to go and share Jesus with somebody in your family. You know, that's a great story to share with somebody else who may have experienced the same thing. So Mark said there's two more meet and greet get-togethers that are going to happen in the next two Tuesdays. I would just throw out the invitation, you know, never any pressure, but always an invitation. Come and be a part of that family that meets, that gathers and scatters. That's very biblical, mm-hmm. It gathers and scatters. Because something powerful happens when you're in the room with people.
And I've taken kind of a page out of your playbook, if you will, because on many morning programs the past, I guess it's been maybe 5 months now, you've been co-hosting on Wednesdays with me. I don't know, 4 or 5 months.
It's been a while.
But you've been talking about the practice that many homes are losing, or many families are losing, the breaking of bread, the discussions over dinner, mm-hmm. over breakfast, over lunch, where you talk about God's word, you talk about your day, you talk about things happening in your life. And because so many schedules are so filled, you know, a husband or a wife is zipping the kid off to soccer practice or whatever, you lose that art of just communicating over a dinner table or a yeah. dining room table. And what I have seen the last few weeks, and I just praise God, and I know I was talking to you afterwards about it, it's like, Jason, it's happening. I'm seeing different people connecting. And there was a couple single people that showed up, some singing men that aren't married, and I sat them at tables with others, families, couples. Some couples came maybe without their spouse or with a girlfriend or another friend, and they all just kind of sat and got to know each other and share testimonies. I sat across from a gentleman who's a part of the Singing Men of GNN. I didn't know any of his story or testimony. And I said, hey, Greg, tell me a little about your life. And he said, my parents were missionaries. They served in Africa. And I said, you know what? Karen Harrison was a missionary in Africa years ago. So I connected those two. And then he said, yeah, I'm practicing and learning Russian. I said, really? Roger over there, he's done missions trips to Ukraine. And so I had him come over. So these various conversations were taking place at various tables. Some people knew each other from Israel trips or Singing Men concerts, but other, it was the first time, and there were like these senior saints with these younger mm-hmm. couples, and mm-hmm. it's like community was happening. There was a unity there, that common bond in Jesus, or the radio station they'd talk about. Did you hear David Jeremiah last week, or a teaching, or a concept that they heard on the radio? And it's like, Lord, this is just a little slice of heaven, just that community that God would want us to inherit. Enhance or have, and growth takes place, or as iron sharpens iron, mm-hmm. you know, so one man sharpens another. So it was so neat to see that happening. And so if you're not doing something on the following next two Tuesdays, April 17th or the 24th, between 4:30 and 6:30, come on out. It's the Olive Garden Restaurant in Champaign, and your meals will be discounted, basically about $2.50, about 20% off, and you'll have a great time of fellowship. So,
yeah, you know, I think that the disconnection happens in our part. You know, I think that we as people, we get so busy and we get moving and we get into doing things and we get into, you know, some people would say, well, I got into a rut. You know, and what happens when you get into a rut? You travel that same direction all the time. Or we get into a schedule. We hear that a lot too. Well, I'm on a schedule. And we begin to do our own thing and we disconnect from each other. You see, disconnection is not a part of God's plan for us. God has divinely connected us in all different ways. Just like you said, somebody sits down and they begin to tell their story, and we find out quickly that their story is connected to all kinds of other stories. Mm-hmm. That it's not just simply his story, but that God has designed his story in such a way that it speaks and meshes and is a part of all other stories. Another thing that I thought that was very interesting last night was that we live in a culture where it's kind of service oriented, especially in a place like the Olive Garden. It's very service-oriented. Mm-hmm. So I come in, I sit down. normally the waiter's very good.
And he points at me.
Well, I was very proud of you. You delivered water better than anyone I've ever seen.
You know, I was on it. I did my water detail very well.
But it's normally a service environment. I sit down, my waiter and waitress comes up. They wow me with great service. I order my stuff. It comes hopefully quickly so that I'll be happy, and then I'll also reward my waiter or waitress with tip. So we live in kind of that culture. But what I saw happen last night was people there not looking for the great service, the great this, the great that. People were looking at each other in community. They were living in community. I don't know if you noticed it, but the waiters and waitresses waiting on the tables that weren't our tables waited on them differently than they waited on our tables, only because they were disarmed by the fact that we were doing life in community. We were joking. It no longer was performance for them. I mean, I felt like our waitress, we got to know her. Rather than simply just kind of get her Olive Garden face.
Yeah.
And that's not saying anything negative towards the Olive Garden or anything negative towards that. I think that's just the perception of how things have to work. But it's interesting that when you come together in community, how you don't just change how you're doing something, but you change how the system is working also. And it becomes a whole lot more different. It was really powerful for me.
Yeah,
sometimes I sit back and I look at those kinds of things.
Yeah, you can be that kingdom agent just by allowing the fragrance of Christ to permeate kind of through you or kind of influence the environment around you. And so, yeah, I know I'm hoping I'll hear later today exactly how many people showed up from Jason and how it all went in his mind. But I know he was a happy camper and he had a commitment with his family. So right at 6:30, he had to leave. And I think some of us were there till 8:30. So... it was a grand old time, so I hope you can make it out the forthcoming next two Tuesdays, and we'll have a great time together. I don't know how to even make this transition, Jason.
I don't think you make it. What are you trying to transition to?
Well, I want to alert all the churches next year to replicate something that you did at the Community Evangelical Free Church. And in fact, I want to help churches institute maybe a room or somehow to have that same practice that you did at your church available for all their members, or at the least, if other churches won't do it, I'm going to tell everyone to come to the Community Evangelical Free Church next year and participate in that unique Good Friday service, because it was powerful and transformational and encouraging and convicting, and it was meditative and God-honoring, and it was something that I took in, and I'm still thinking about it, but I want to promote it in great ways, or at least plant the seeds in the idea of many other pastors or parishioners or deacons or elders to replicate kind of what you did. So I don't know, in 5 or 7 minutes, if you can highlight a few of the things, because you saw God kind of open your eyes to things that you hadn't weighed entirely, as you were kind of winging it, putting it together. You wanted to have a simplified service, maybe one that could be quiet, and maybe take us through what that process was, because you were like, thank you, God. I wouldn't have thought of it that way.
Yeah.
And thank you, God. There's the things I need, the props, the setup. Wow, I wouldn't have done it. Thank you, God. And God kind of ministered to you through it, too.
Yeah, it was interesting. It started out in a meeting that we had, and we were talking about Easter, and, you know, I mean, I think I've talked about it. I don't know if I talked about it on the radio as much, but in church I've talked about it. And I think I talked about it with you, Mark, that for us as a family, Easter week, Holy Week, is the Super Bowl for us. Our family, I mean, we lay it all on. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Last night I slept like a rock. I woke up today still tired. I mean, we just lay it all out there because we just have this firm belief that this is the week that Jesus came. It's a culmination of his life into his death and his resurrection. I mean, if ever there's a week where as a Christian, you just, you know, yeah, I mean, this is the week.
And you're talking about the Schiffo family.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then I would say even now our extended church family, because, I mean, we kind of gathered them up and brought them in and through this at the same time. So we had a meeting, and we were discussing what to do. And I said, well, Good Friday, we need to do something. And somebody said, well, maybe we could just partner and attend somewhere, you know, to another church or something like that. And we said, well, we're not really sure what that is. And we, you know, communicating it to everybody. So it was kind of a logistical thing we were trying to figure out. And then I said, what if we just did a service that had zero volunteer effort into it, that it ran itself? And it would, and they said at the time, they go, what do you mean exactly? And I said, I don't know. We would show slides on the wall or something. I don't know. I mean, I could put something together. So,
because oftentimes when you suggest another program, it means, you know, time commitments
right.
and people showing up
right.
and volunteer efforts.
Well, how is it going to minister to the segment of people who are, you know, if they're the worship band, you know, the worship team or the, you know, who knows what, the usher greeter, the blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, those people then get roped into it naturally to have to do something. And I didn't want that. I wanted those people to be able to come and sit and minister too. I mean, I consistently every Sunday look at our worship team and I say, Lord, how please take us to a point in a day where these people can sit and be ministered to and worship on their own without having to provide worship. So really, I didn't really have a plan. I honestly, seriously, I took out a legal pad. I drew our sanctuary, a big square, and I divided it up into the things I wanted to do, which was, you know, I took it from kind of the Catholic idea of the stations of the cross, and I just said, look, I want to take us through the movements kind of that final leading into Good Friday. So, you know, so I said, well, I know that the first station, I know I want us to take communion and just meditate on the Passover, Jesus' final meal with his disciples. You know, and in doing that, I'm just doing it, and all of a sudden I'm going, wait a second, there's an audio-visual kind of component that we can do here. I mean, so we set up a little screen, we cut and edited a piece of the Passion with the Last Supper scene, and we had it so that, and it had the words on it. So it would provide the words, but we had no sound. And then the next station I said, I know I want to talk about the contemplation that Jesus had in prayer in the garden. So we set that up, and we used partitions and things like that, and we brought every plant that we owned as a church out and filled this thing so it felt like a garden, put a kneeler in there, put a cup in there, and it said, you know, Father, if you want, please take this cup. You know, just for people to contemplate. And the next one was kind of the Praetorium. We decorated it very Roman, Greek, Greco kind of style, so and you were to meditate on, you know, when Pilate says, what is truth? And in there you would collect a card that said, you know, what shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? Because I think that question is as pertinent for Pilate as it is then as it is for us today. I mean, people who even have been walking with Jesus for a long time are still saying, what do I do with you, Jesus? Or maybe you come up against a moment in your life where you're, you know, the kind of the system and you butt heads and you go, Jesus, what do I do in this moment? I mean, you're asking the same question that Pilate did. You're affirming that Jesus is Lord. Pilate did that. He said, Jesus is who is called the Christ. But in the same token, Pilate's going, well, what do I do with you? You know, and then we kind of in the center part of the room we had where you meditated on the Passion. And again, we cut and edited a piece of the film from Mel Gibson's Passion of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. And then the splitting of the temple and the tearing of the curtain and kind of ends as that long shot out of the Pietà. Just this beautiful shot of Mary holding Jesus, really powerful. And then, you know, we went over and you were to take that little card that you had that said, what am I to do with this Jesus who's called the Christ? And you were to decide or find something in your heart that you needed to hand over. And then we had a hammer and nails and a big, huge wooden cross. And you committed that thing to the cross.
And no matter where you were at in the sanctuary area, you would hear the people pounding the
yes.
nails. And because this was done in silence, even with the video projecting, it was all in silence. Though there was some worship music going on, you didn't talk, you didn't comment to others. There were Bibles at all these stations and a number of chairs. And so you would kind of sit at your own pace, take your own time. Maybe you'd be there 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 12 minutes. You'd read the scriptural passage maybe that was significant to what was going on. And you kind of do it at your own pace. I think a couple couples did it together, but you kind of took your time. What I did is I just went to the station. I prayed. I took my time. I thought about the scripture and walked through it. And people were just at different points. And then when they would nail to that cross, you would hear that. And that'd just be an ongoing reminder of all the stations. So it was just so powerful. And I just think so many churches could do that in a unique way. And what was so just important was just that meditative quietness that you entered into the sanctuary and you took your time. There was no rushing through it. It was just a very special moment. I was thinking churches should have a room dedicated like every Sunday, not just during Easter week, that people can go in, kind of like many churches have a prayer room.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's a quiet room of reflection, of prayer, of contemplation, of reading scriptures. But it was just so peaceful and odd. I was just, I think I and anyone that was a part of that was moved and blessed.
Yeah, it was interesting for me and Tasha because we stayed outside. So when somebody came in to start it, the only The only time they were guided was I handed them a little program booklet that would help to guide them through the stations, to give them some scripture readings, and just give them some orientation to each station, and then we would let them go. And then when they came out, we stopped everybody for prayer. We stopped everybody, and Tasha and I would link hands with them, and we would pray with them. And you weren't really allowed to go unless you got prayer. We wanted to pray with you because we were seeing people having a movement in there. But sometimes you're connected to it. You know, I set it up. You know, I pray as I set it up. I mean, you see people having a movement, and you go, okay, well, God is doing something in them, but generally it's different for me because of the intimacy and connection that I had, the closeness to the whole process. And so at the end, Tasha said, well, let's go through. So we went through. And I mean, by the second station, which would have been the garden, the prayer part, I mean, I was personally in tears, and God was just convicting my heart of things. And by the time we got to the center, which was the passion, and you are watching Jesus on the cross, you know, in this film, and I can't describe how we set it up. I mean, if we could show you pictures, it was very powerful. And you're seeing these pictures, and there's no sound. I mean, you're seeing Jesus crying out, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? But there's no sound.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hear, like you said, boom, boom, boom. And you know that as you're watching Jesus on the cross on that screen, somebody has just now pounded their sins into the cross that's next to you. And it's just so powerful.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that when we get around this time next year, maybe in February or March or early March, we'll be encouraging churches to maybe consider doing this, setting up something similar, getting in touch with Jason and seeing how he put it together, because I think it'll be so very God-honoring and will be a real blessing to the church and the congregation. Well, we got to go. We're out of time. I will point out tomorrow, Joey Kroll has the day off because I had to fit in another author, Heejin Burton. She's going to talk about being a POW and her experience in the Korean War. And then on Friday, I'll have author Kevin Brooks, and he's a local from Muhammad, and he has an interesting transformational story to share. So be tuned in for the next few days of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.